The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director of your UAB Blazers. Mark Ingram joins us here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel. Of course, you can chance this wonderful show. It runs 5 days a week. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can listen to it. We're available on every major industry out there as well. And of course, right here on our YouTube channel, you can actually see our mugs as we do the show. Mark, how you been, brother? I know you've been off the last couple weeks. How's summer going for you? Everything good?
Yeah, things are great, man. Yeah, we were at American Conference meetings down in Tampa last week. So I had our head football coach, our head basketball coach, our head women's basketball coach, our SWA, and our faculty athletics rep. We were all down in Tampa at the American Conference meetings last week. So sorry to miss the show.
No problem.
But we were in meetings on Thursday when we normally record the show. So I apologize for that.
No problem. And coming out of those, I mean, it didn't come out of those meetings, but we just found out that the AAC men's tournament is going to be in Birmingham.
Men's and women's coming year.
Do tell, man.
Be in Birmingham. Yeah, it's really exciting. Appreciate everybody down at Legacy Arena and the BJCC putting forth their effort to try to help us get that tournament back to Birmingham. So what was announced is it'll come here for 1 year, then it's going to go to Tampa for two. And the I've had some people ask me, why is that? And the answer is because they wanted to do it in back-to-back years somewhere. And the BJCC has an event, Legacy Arena has an event in that third year already booked during that time. And so they couldn't. So that's how it ended up, you know, coming here and then going there twice. So, but we're glad to get it. And that doesn't mean we won't get it again, but it's the men's and the women's tournament. One of the things that was really important to the event was being able to have both men's and women's in the same city, which I think is really meaningful.
Yeah.
I think fans prefer it. You know, there's people that you don't, as a fan, may not think about that it's really meaningful to, starting with any administrators, whether it's me or the president, the SWA, other staff that would like to be supportive of both. And when it's in two different cities, like, it becomes unrealistic, but even more so. And I know people don't care about me, but like, think about the band.
Yeah.
Like, how do you have your band in both places? How do you have your cheer squad in both places? Well, the answer is you sort of divide those groups and send them apart. But it's just it's complicated. You know, it's complicated to have those groups. And, you know, do you have two band directors now? So you got two people in two different places. And yes, we do have that. But it's just that it's more of an expense. It's more people missing school. It's just, again, it's more complicated than it seems than just having it here or there. And so having it in the same place, I'm really excited about because of all those things we can be supportive of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I really do. And my son, obviously, is a big UAB fan, and it's great you guys are going to be playing in your home city. I just think it's wonderful that there's going to be a team that Blaze down there. It's going to be end up getting an automatic bid. I think that's true. That's true for the SWAC or any other conference that wants to come through the Birmingham area and play tournaments here. I just think it's great. I love it. I'll be honest with you. I love it from a standpoint that I can afford to go. It's really nice to be able to go watch a bunch of basketball games for under $100 with somebody. And I just enjoy a good, pure, good college basketball game. And we'll see that.
Yeah, and we really need to get the word out around the city to get our community at the game, because I can assure you, yes, it's more affordable for our Birmingham fans. It's also more affordable for the Memphis fans, and they are going to be there in force. And so unless we want that place to be painted royal blue, we need to get in there and make sure our green and gold are loud and proud.
They do travel well, for sure.
They travel great, and good for them. And that's another nice advantage, frankly. You know, if you're the commissioner, you want a lot of people to be there. And frankly, you don't care what color they're wearing. You just want it to be a big event. And but that's a nice advantage that the Memphis fans are only 4 hours away and they can get here easily as well. And Memphis, the city of Memphis, was one of the options. But for whatever reason, they couldn't host men and women. They could only host the men. And that was probably a big part. Not, I shouldn't say probably. I was in the room. That was part of the determining factor of how they did not get it. So good for us to be able to do both.
Shedeur Sanders, the story just keeps rearing its head, but I just think it's fascinating. I think it's a lot of fun to talk to because I think everyone at this point now knows why he went in the fifth round. And if you're going, why was that, Tone? I think most of us would agree that had something to do with his dad. Now whether that would be a distractionary thing, I had heard the fact that he wore headphones during his interview process and that he didn't take it seriously. I also understand he drives a $220,000 Mercedes or whatever he drives. And a lot of people think that he's gotten a big head. He did have a fantastic season. But for a guy who is projected to go number one in the draft, or at least the number one quarterback in the draft, mm-hmm. and to have five guys, including Jalen Milroe of mm-hmm. Alabama, go before him, in this particular draft is a real head scratcher. You and I were talking briefly before the show about Johnny Manziel and going 22nd to the Cleveland Browns. We talked about Aaron Rodgers, and I remember him sitting by the phone. Everyone thought he was going to be the first round guy. He ended up going 24th. We certainly know about the Tom Brady situation going 199th in the sixth round. But to go to fifth place, the National Football League and their pickers were trying to send a message to somebody. The fact that it went down to the fifth round. I want to get your thoughts on why you think Shedeur Sanders, and you know what a wonderful season he had this past year, and why he went fifth in the National Football League's draft.
Well, I don't know Deion Sanders personally. I've never met the man. We all know what the persona is. We have mutual friends. You know, when you're in this industry, you have that. And my mutual friends say that Deion's a good guy. And my mutual friends say that that he's very aware that there's Deion Sanders and then there's this alter ego, Coach Prime, almost like a character. Mm-hmm. Primetime. There's this primetime character guy. And Prime gets a lot of endorsements. And say what you want, whether you like it or you don't like it. Like, Primetime and Coach Prime get a lot of attention. And if used right and harnessed right, is really good. It's really good for Jacksonville. You know, when he was at Jacksonville State or Jackson, where was he? He was at it was at Jacksonville State. Yeah. It brought attention that they've never had.
Yeah.
And Colorado's ticket sales and attendance are through the roof. So as much as some pundits might sort of poke fun, there's some good coming out of it. I have a good friend. Well, he was a good friend. We kind of lost touch, but one of my old teammates, he got drafted in like the fourth round to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And he was a really good player. He's a defensive lineman. And apparently, and I don't know this exactly, but apparently he gets to their OTAs and their workouts and he's saying stuff like, man, I can't believe y'all waited so long to draft me. Y'all were lucky that I was still around. And this kind of general chatter.
Yeah.
They cut him, I think, before their first preseason game.
Wow.
Well, he ends up being picked up now as a free agent by the Eagles and played like 10 years for the Eagles mm-hmm. because he was a good player.
Yeah.
But what it tells you is if you and I play the same position on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 9 and you're 8.75. But I'm difficult or I'm hard to work with. They're going to take you mm-hmm. because there's 1,000 dudes that want your job.
Yeah,
they could do your job and maybe not quite as good, but this much worse. But people forget, and players don't understand this, coming out of college even. The college player, you know, they go to school, and there's this window of time that you can work out, practice, and exercise and watch film, and then you got to go. And the NFL Players Association has that too. But instead of being like this, it's more like that. It's a job. It's a real job. Like, you get up. You're there by, I don't know, call it 8 a.m. at like any other 9-to-5 job. You're there at 8 a.m. They feed you breakfast. You might have a mid-morning workout or something. Then you go back to film. Then you have lunch. Then maybe back to film. Then you go have practice. You might have film again. And then you go home. And like, it's this sort of normal, regular day. And the coaches don't want to deal with a guy that's difficult when they don't have to deal with a guy that's difficult.
No, and I even think about some of the guys.
They don't have to.
Yeah, I even think about some of the guys, and we've seen it.
They're there all day together.
Yeah, we've seen it with Brown. We've seen it with Terrell Owens. Oh, we've seen it with guys, and these guys are Pro Bowlers.
Correct.
I mean, these guys are Hall of Famers, and they didn't want to deal with them. Yeah, Dez Bryant. I mean, you know what? I mean, after a while, even to the point Ocho Cinco. I mean, these guys, they're a pain, but these are Hall of Famers. So if you think you're coming out of Colorado, and again, I don't know what Shadour. I really don't know what the situation is. The thing with Deion Sanders, which I think is really interesting, and I hadn't really thought about this, was they were not only not dealing with him particularly because it was primetime or Neon Deion, was because they knew that Deion Sanders has an opportunity probably to coach at the next level. And I'm not talking about the level of college. I'm talking about pro. I know there was word out there that perhaps he could have had the Dallas job. I don't know if that was true or not. Uh-huh. And then maybe, you know, if the Cleveland Browns end up getting a Shadour, who they did, and by the way, they got Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and Deshaun Watson. Who the hell is going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns? I mean, they've got a mess.
Deshaun Watson's a good player, as was Kenny Pickett. You know what they're going to have is competition, Tony.
Well, there is. And I mean, and the question is if he's going number one or he's going first in the first round, Shadour Sanders is probably his job to lose. Now, I'm not so sure. Maybe that'd be really good for him because all five of those guys have had to take snaps and they're all decent quarterbacks. It's just a lot of guys that look like they're trying to find their spots. I don't know what Joe Flacco's still doing in the league. It's been forever, but on the road, he's fantastic.
Well, Flacco's just that journeyman guy. He's like Aaron Rodgers. You know, there was a moment where Flacco was the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And then kind of fell off fast. I feel like he had an injury or something, but Joe Flacco is a smart, knowledgeable, knows how the industry works, probably a great guy to have in the quarterback room to help mentor those younger guys, if nothing else. And who knows, maybe he ends up getting on the field too. But I tell you what it reminded me of, Tony, was, and I don't remember this guy's draft position because I think he still got drafted pretty high, but it was when that basketball player was coming out, LaMelo Ball.
Yeah. His dad was all over.
His dad is Lonzo Ball.
And the Ball family.
They've all got similar names. Like, I don't know. So I'm getting the wrong guy mixed up because there's like three boys and dad, I think dad is Lonzo. And then there's three sons who have similar names. Anyway, there was a lot of chatter around where's he going to get drafted? And oh man, you're going to have to deal with the dad. This is pro sports. It'd be like my father. Can you imagine my father coming into my office here and like raising heck about work conditions or compensation and going public and you know what I mean? And talking about how all this stuff, it's like, that's nuts. Like,
well, funny thing is, once the Balls did go professional, it worked pretty well. Like, I remember seeing the videos of his father making them breakfast and the set. You don't really hear from
those guys have made a bunch of money.
They made a ton of money thanks to their dad. Yeah.
But how about this? But Tony, as we're sitting here, I'm not sure I know all their names. These are not all-star players. If you're in the NBA and you sit on the bench, you're a great, great basketball player.
Yeah.
So it's not about are they great, but they weren't quite what dad was trying to build them up to be. And the point is, I think he's bounced to a two or three teams because people are like, man, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's my impression. I don't know that. Maybe that's completely false, but that's my impression, is that people don't want to deal with all that.
Yeah, and it's funny because we could do a whole show on this too, and I know you could do a whole show on this, talking about just the fathers, and I guess to an extent the mothers of some of these football players, because I know Jameis Winston's father was in his back pocket a lot. I still talk to him on occasion, and Jameis, of course, obviously still in the National Football League, and considerable success in the National Football League. He's going to,
again, if you're in it, you're successful. Yeah,
he's providing for his family. I don't care if he's a starter or not. He's there and he's doing real good. Hey, while we're talking about quarterbacks too, Aaron Rodgers, what's going on with him? What's he trying to do? How's he trying to be remembered as a legacy? Can he just not give it up? He just wants to go play. Can he be successful as a Steeler? What It seems like no one cares. It seems like after that whole who's going to get Aaron Rodgers deal and he goes to the Jets, it has just been a mess ever since then.
Well, he was hurt.
Yeah.
Actually, he was playing well.
Yeah, in the first game.
He was playing well, and the Jets were playing well, and he got hurt.
Yeah. And then, of course, he comes back, and then, you know, but your thoughts on what he's doing? Should he hang it up?
It's like a drug, man. You love playing. At this point in his life, you think about how many years of his life he's been playing football. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he's supposed to stop. And then what's he going to go do? And I'm not saying he doesn't have other skills. I'm literally asking, though, what would he go do? Would he go coach? He could go coach youth football, high school mm-hmm. football. Probably easily get on, I bet, with Cal as some sort of assistant analyst. I bet they'd be thrilled to have him, as would many others. Or does he want to go buy a farm? Who knows what the guy wants to do? I don't know what his hobbies and interests are, but that's a real crossroads for a guy that's not an old man. This is not a I'm retiring, oh, and I'm 70. It's I'm retiring and I got half my life in front of me. What does that look like? And it's really hard. You remember when Jason Witten thought it was time to hang it up and yep. he did television and then he went back.
Yeah.
You know, and it was what he realized was he just missed it too much. He just missed it way too much. And he kind of took that year and got healthy almost. He wasn't banged up. He still exercised. He's like, man, I could keep playing. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Because you can't get it back. There comes a point where you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like this television thing, maybe I could always come back to the TV gig if I wanted to. TV will take you until you're, you know, really old if you're good at it. And but the game is for the elite.
Yeah, it would almost feel like, too, with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if anyone's like Tom Brady, where you can take a year off and come back, or even Michael Jordan when he went to play baseball. But it seems like it's almost like if you almost just at that age, you have like 1 year, and if you want to get back in, you better go.
Don't kid yourself that burnout is real, too.
Yeah.
Well, we experienced that at the college level, which some people maybe find hard to believe, but you know, when you get these kids, the people that I talk to this the most about are baseball coaches. Mm-hmm. Because baseball kids, they'll play so many games, travel baseball in the summer. If they don't play another sport, if their parents, which I think is a terrible idea, and I tell everybody this, do not play fall baseball. If you don't want to play football, that's fine. If you'd rather just go to the weight room or something and exercise in the fall, that's fine. But man, you got to have some off time. But there's too many parents who, and they refuse to believe it, but there's too many parents that push their kids into this year-round sport. And baseball is the worst about it. They'll go fall, spring, and summer, fall, spring, and they'll just play a million games. Mm-hmm. And by the time those kids get to college, they're so sick of swinging a bat and throwing a baseball, they can't stand it. And it was this ultimate goal to get there. But then they get there and they're like, oh my gosh. They're just tired of it. And that can happen at the NFL or NBA level too. And you think, oh, but if they're making all that money, it's like anything. It gets to a point where they've got a ton of money. Making more money is nice to do, but not needed. Now, do they love it? And sometimes they just need a break physically. I need a break from being barked at. I need a break from somebody telling me where to be all the time. I just need a break. Yep. And, I need a break from the media. I need a break from the travel, whatever. I just want to have some time to myself. And if they take that year off, like you just described, and then they go, I still got some gas in the tank, man. I could do this. I'm gonna get myself right. And and they have a different headspace. They go back and they're like Brady, like went back and he was Tom Brady, you know?
Yeah. UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram joins us every single week right here on the UAB Director's Chair. And we have been off the last couple of weeks, so we're going to catch up on several things. This is kind of fun to go around the league here. And this shows more than just about the UAB Blazers. There is another show, too, called... Inferno.
The Inferno.
That thing is still rolling, too. So make sure you check that out. It's really good. UABSports.com. Bill Belichick. I've been asked about Bill Belichick a million times at his sports radio for 30 years. what is he thinking? What is he doing? I'm like, dude, he is living life to life's fullest expectations. I said, he's 73. He's going to come on, a 24-year-old. Dude, there ain't a 73-year-old man out there who's not married, who wouldn't love to have a 24-year-old draped all over him. I don't know what their intimacy level is. I don't care. I don't want to think about it. But she's smoking hot. Well, they can't mean love. I don't care if it doesn't mean love. You know, he doesn't have to be in love with her. He's hanging out with a girl that's 50 years younger than him. She looks smoking hot. If she traipses around, walks naked through the kitchen, that may be enough for him. I don't know what their situation is. I don't care, but good for him. Wonderful for him. And now, of course, known as maybe the greatest NFL football coach, and you could certainly make an argument that Tom Brady had a lot to do with that, because Tom was successful after Bill. Bill was not successful after Tom.
Yeah.
Now he's at North Carolina, and all I can think is, you know, I don't know what a 73-year-old will want to go back and do college football. Maybe it's fun for him. Certainly sold a boatload of tickets, but it is kind of a smirk situation. What are your thoughts on Bill?
Well, I think you got a guy who loves the game. I think you got a guy who, just like we were talking about, it's all he's ever known. Feels like he still has a lot to offer. And I'm sure feels like the college game is a different challenge, a similar but different challenge. Why not give it a go? You know, and he feels like he's still got a lot to offer and wants to do it. Now, how long can he do it? Well, who knows? You know, people used to ask that every year of Coach Saban, how much longer can he do it? Well, till he can't. I mean, yep. Or doesn't want to. And good for Bill, because he's so well thought of that he has that opportunity to go to a place like North Carolina that's a tradition-rich place with a lot of great fans and, you know, great university. It's an outstanding school. And Bubba Cunningham's their AD. He's a super, super guy, a good friend of mine. And
I know you've had this conversation with Bubba. What was his... Because there's probably some schools that maybe Bill wanted to go to, and they said no. Is there anyone you can't say no to? I mean, Bill Belichick, you're like, oh my gosh, Bill Belichick. And then when you start thinking about, okay, he's 73, he's bringing a lot of distraction in with his 24-year-old. Let's be honest. I mean, this guy could be dating half the football team for all we know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of distraction there, and it's not a joke, because if the guy is going 9-3, then he was well worth it. And I think we're going to find out a lot about his coaching prowess and his skill. But what was the athletic director at North Carolina thinking when they brought him in? Was it just like, well, hey, let's just blow the doors off for a couple of years and see what happens?
Well, I think that everyone in sports would agree that Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches in the history of sports, period. Yeah. Not football, sports. He is one of the best coaches in the history of sports, and his championship success is all you need to look at over a long period of time. And so I'm not saying he's the best. He is among the best. He is one of the best. And, you know, I think Nick Saban is that way. I think Pat Summitt is that way. I think you could put, you know, a dozen or two people in that category over the thousands and thousands and thousands of coaches. But that's all it was, man. Don't overthink it. It was, we have the opportunity to get one of the best coaches in the history of sports to come to our institution and help us. And he's interested, and let's do that. And yeah, again, is he going to have him for 3 years or 5 years or 8 years? Time will tell. But if you could get 5 years and sort of, I don't want to say reverse, because they weren't terrible. Mac Brown had improved them from where they had been since Mac Brown left. Mac Brown brought them back to a respectable level, but to sort of, instead of kind of going from here to back to respectful, now they want to get there. If Bill can get them there and get the program, you know, people excited again, and then Bill says, hey, I want to schedule thoughtfully, plan a retirement with you. Let's work together and bring in a next person who feels like they're taking the reins of not of a rebuild, but of a, hey, man, this thing's going in the right direction. The fans are engaged. That's the opportunity.
Is Bill one of those guys, and you would know this, is Bill one of those guys that's well-connected to the National Football League? I know it sounds like a stupid question, but I mean...
Belichick, well, is he...
When you're playing for a former NFL coach, you think to myself, okay, I'm playing for a former NFL coach. He can make some phone calls for me if I want to play at the next level. Is Bill that guy? I mean, is he...
Yeah, God, yeah, man. There's nobody. Look, it's not about, do you like him or do you not like him? Do you like his style? You don't like his style? Do you like that stupid hoodie thing that he wears? It's not about any of that. You cannot deny the guy's success. Can't.
Yeah.
And so what I thought Bill was excellent at the Patriots is he really didn't draft a bunch of fancy, flashy, like his first round draft picks weren't necessarily. Well, we started off with this. Brady was a, was he fifth round, sixth round pick?
Sixth round.
Sixth round pick. And he made a living off of those type guys.
Yeah.
Wes Welker wasn't some first round draft pick. He made a living off of Mike Vrabels and these type guys being great for them. And he took his first round picks were on the front. The offensive defensive line is where he tried to get his first rounders. He wasn't trying to draft the next great quarterback. He never did that.
Yeah.
And so what that says is he knows how to evaluate talent. And so, yes, you think that if you're considering going to North Carolina, that could Bill Belichick have influence to say to the coach at the wherever, you know, the Carolina Panthers, hey, man, we got this kid, Tony Curry, and he's I don't know why he's not going to get drafted high. You guys are crazy if you don't draft him. They're going to listen to that. Yeah. Of course they're going to listen to that. I would.
Yeah. What else is going on at UAB Sports?
Brother, you know, we had, since we last talked, I told you we went to Tampa for the league meetings. We've had commencement. We had just short of 100 student-athletes graduate here, nice. Which is a ton of fun. So now this is a planning season and camp season. Heavy camp season here. If your kids are bored for the summer, please send them to our camps. We got them in every sport. So, you know, we it's fun around here to see the young kids going, you know, out in the gym playing volleyball and basketball and football camps going, baseball camp, softball camp, soccer camp. We got it all. And, so yeah, please take a look at our camp website at uabsports.com. There's a drill down for camps and you can send your kids here. It's also a busy time on campus for orientation, you know, new student orientation. So the upcoming freshman class, them and their families are here for not their first visit by any means. I'm sure most everybody has been here a couple of times, but now they're really getting an intimate insider look at how everything works and what do all the dorms look like, not just one dorm, but now you see where you're going to live. And it's a lot of fun. It's an exciting time for families here.
Great stuff, brother. Great to have you back, and we'll catch up next week.
Renewals are out now. You can renew your football tickets and your basketball tickets now, and if you want to see the Blazers be successful, you need to support these kids. And so I appreciate everybody that has done that so far and hope that the listeners here will renew their tickets and get their friends to do the same. We want to continue to win here, and we can do it, and we're capable, but we got to have everybody in it with us.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.